good morning and welcome to worship here at Greystone Baptist Church on this beautiful spring morning. My name is Alan Smith. I serve here as the minister to students, and it is my joy and privilege to welcome you to worship this morning. A couple things for your attention as we begin worshiping together. First, I hope you will notice a friendship pad. These are either seated at the end of the pew or maybe in the hymn rack in front of you. We do invite you to take these and to pass them down your row. I hope that this gives you an opportunity to become a little bit more familiar with some of those whom are worshiping around you this morning. Also, if you are a guest with us this morning, we are particularly glad that you joined us. You might notice a connection card in these friendship pads, and we do invite you to complete those connection cards if there's anything that you'd like to share with us as a church staff, be it you being a guest or just something else that someone who attends here regularly would like to share with us this morning. And speaking of guests, it is our Senior Adult Sunday. We are glad for many of our senior adults to be helping to lead and worship this morning. And also grateful for Dr. Mac Thompson, who has joined us this morning and will be serving as our proclaimer in this service. Dr. Thompson has served at many different pastoral roles and churches in the area, both as a full-time and interim pastor, and we are grateful for his presence. Most notably, he was a pastor here in Raleigh at Ridge Road Baptist Church for about 20 years, and many in our congregation might even know him from that role and that experience. Again, we are grateful for Dr. Thompson to be here today, and now let us continue in worship together.
I will be reading the 23rd Psalm this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
May we proclaim God's love together in song. Let's sing.
Thank you. other children who would like to join us, feel free to come on up. Today is a special day at our church. Today is Senior Adult Sunday. Does anyone know what the word senior means? What's a senior? Well, they don't have to, in our church, they're over 60, but yeah, it's an older person. So the senior adults in our church, Greystone considers people senior adults when they're 60 or older, but people over 70 are senior adults too. They might be retired from their jobs, or they might still be working. Some of them might be grandparents. Your grandparents might be senior adults. Many of the people leading our worship service today are senior adults. In the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, God gives Moses lots of rules to obey, and one of the rules he says is stand up in the presence of the aged and show respect for the elderly. Standing in someone's presence shows honor to them. So God is telling us that he wants us to honor and respect older people. Today we are honoring the senior adults who are part of Greystone. So what's something special about senior adults? Well, they've been around for a long time, haven't they? And just by being around for a long time, they've learned lots of things, don't you think? Because they've had lots of life experiences, they've learned lots of things. Many of them have been really active in churches, so they've helped our church along the years. Some of them may have taught you in Sunday school, or some of them may have taught you in missions or choir, or may have done like I'm doing right now and led you in a children's sermon. So our older adults are really important to our church because they have helped our church to grow through the years, and they know a lot of things. And if we listen to them, we can learn things from them. So I want you to do something for me this morning. I want you all to stand up here on the steps. Come stand on the steps. Come on over, Gabe. Okay. Now, I want anyone who is a senior adult or who will admit that they're a senior adult to stand up if you can. Can you see all these people out there? See all these people that are standing up? Now, when I count to three... And some of behind you, there's some senior. We have a lot of senior adults in the choir. So when I count to three, I want you, in your biggest, loudest voice, I want you to say thank you, okay? One, two, three.
Thank you.
Okay, now pray with me. God, we thank you for the people who have been around Greystone for years and those who have joined us in their older years. Thank you for all that they have meant to this church and to other churches throughout our world. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Like the Apostle Paul, the writer of our next hymn, knew what it was to be imprisoned. Daniel Whittle was a serviceman turned businessman turned evangelist who would lead revivals throughout the United States during the 19th century. In his earlier years, he committed his life to Christ as a POW of the Civil War. In those dark days in chains, he began reading the New Testament his mother had given him when he went off to war. Whittle penned these hymns in 1883, or this hymn, some years later in life, perhaps thinking back to questions that he asked during those dark days of imprisonment. There were so many things he didn't know, but he rested in his knowledge of God's saving love through Christ Jesus. I believe this is an invitation to us this morning to be convinced and transformed by God's persuasive love through Christ, that we would know peace, that we would be convinced of sin, that we would grow into a greater depth of faith, even this morning. So I'd like us to sing this song with these things in mind. Can we stand together as we sing?
I'm not afraid to die. Will you join me in prayer, please? Dear Lord our God, you guide us as a loving shepherd. In your presence, our spirits are renewed. In your wisdom, we discover peace. In fellowship together, we find ways to share your good news with others. As we enjoy your blessings, help us to give from our abundance with glad and generous hearts. We dedicate these tithes and offerings in the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for his flock. In your name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading is from Philippians 1, verses 3 through 11, and is Paul's prayer to the for the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. And then in Philippians 3, 12 through 16. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this is one thing I do, forgetting that what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. May God add understanding to the reading of the lesson.
Thanks be to God.
It's always a pleasure to be in this church and be with you fine folks. I've visited here on several occasions. My wife and I is with me today. And I also remember coming some years back when Dennis Herman was here, and I was a senior adult then, and I did senior adult day with you. So it's good to be back and experience fellowship with you good folks. Do you ever take the time to consider the chapters of your life? To reflect on how you transition from one chapter in life to the next? As you do that, do you take the time to think about all the people who have touched you in ways great and small? Many who blessed you, some who hurt you, all who made some kind of difference and help you to be who you are. Many of us can divide our lives into chapters. I do that from time to time, thinking about how life has been over the years, the schools I attended, the places I lived, the churches I served. I think of growing up here in the city of Raleigh, graduating from Needham Broughton High School when John Kennedy was president, a long time ago. I think about going away to college and remember the years that Carol and I lived in Wake Forest when I was in seminary, and then serving four different churches along the way. These churches I have as chapters in my life. Places like Warrington, Warsaw, Laurinburg, and then in Raleigh at Ridge Road for 20 years, and then in 2008, retirement. As we get older, I think it's normal for us to become reflective, to look back like this, to recall how our family has grown, to remember the places we have lived, the people we have met, the friends who have touched us. Frank Sinatra did a song some years ago remembering the chapters of his life. He sings, "When I was 17, it was a very good year." Then he tells why. He moves on, "When I was 21, then when I was 35. In the final verse, he sings of the latter years of life. "But now the days grow short, I'm in the autumn of the year. I think of my life as vintage wine from fine old kegs. From the brine to the dregs, it poured sweet and clear. Yes, it was a very good year." It looks like he's looking back and reflecting on all that happened and expressing satisfaction at where he was, where he is, and how he got there. Now, before you get the wrong idea, I'm not suggesting that we look to Frank Sinatra as a model for growing old. But I do appreciate the way he sang this song so beautifully. Such wisdom in this song. Such good advice. You can't go back and change a thing, but you can make the most of what you've experienced. And yes, looking back, there were some very good years. Think for a moment about how we measure life. The obvious way is to approach it chronologically. We just start at the beginning and move forward to where we are right now. Childhood, adolescence, young adult, middle age, right on up to senior adult. These are the chapters along the way. But I think there's some chapters that are very, very pivotal. There's nothing earth-shaking about turning 16. But I recall when I was a high school student, I could not wait for 16. And you know why? Driver's license. I was ready to go. And I remember how excited I was when I was 18, because that meant I was finally finishing high school and college was on the way. I recall how excited I was when I could finally vote. In those days, it was 21, not 18. And there were also the decades in life that seemed to stand out as you look back reflectively. turning 40 or 50 or 60 and on. As people get older, they also start thinking about retirement and drawing Social Security. But that has changed over the years because some people seem to work longer, and that's wonderful. One thing is for certain, Medicare is great. Since I have been a senior for several years, I still enjoy looking back and reflecting, and I've made several discoveries about getting older. I discovered that the older I get, the faster time goes by. I discovered that nothing remains the same. Sometimes I wish some things did, but that's not the way it is. I discovered that wishing good old days is a waste of time and energy. I discovered I love chocolate just as much as ever. I discovered that if I ever get bored, it's nobody's fault but mine. And I might add, I discovered very early in my ministry that being a pastor was never, ever boring. I have discovered that today is the day that matters. Yesterday has passed. I can't fast forward to tomorrow. Today is what we've got. I've also experienced this. Every stage in life has its own blessings and its own challenges. Some years ago, a writer by the name of Gail Sheehy came up with a great idea for a book. It's fortunate for her she did, because she made a fortune, I'm sure. It sold so many copies. She divided life into the various stages, and she wanted to consider the blessings and the challenges of moving from one stage to the next. She entitled her book, Passages. One time in life giving way to another time in life. Each time coming up with its own challenges, its own blessings, its own opportunities. This morning, let us think about this concept of moving from one stage to the next. Yes, it's true. Life takes us through passages. Never static, always dynamic. And it's not just a matter of moving from point A to point B. It's a matter of how you get there and what happens to you along the way. I have chosen for our scripture text today some verses that I think speak to all this. Think about its context and its message. The Apostle Paul finds himself in prison. He has finished his first three trips in spreading the gospel, his first three journeys, and now he's living in Rome in a prison. And while he's there, he becomes a bit nostalgic and reflective. He remembers all those friends he's made along the way. And he's especially fond of the church at Philippi. And so we are privileged to read a personal letter. He didn't know it was going to become scripture. He was writing a letter to dear friends. And he remembered that they were the ones of all the churches he had served, all the places he had been, that were thoughtful enough to send him a gift. And he writes a word of thanks in chapter 4. For he says, when I set out from Macedonia, no church shared with me except you. It's also clear that the Apostle Paul has gotten older. And really, he has only a few more years to live. We don't think of Paul as a senior citizen, but at that point in time, he was. And maybe this is our opportunity to let this man speak to us about what he experienced in his life. This time to let his words touch us where we need to be touched. He writes in chapter 3, Beloved, I do not consider that I made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This morning, let us look at things we can consider as we move from one passage to the next. First, I have a question. What word would you use to describe life? In the past, we've found all kinds of ways people like to describe life. Life is good. You go in many a shop and you will find all these life is good shirts that you can wear. It sends a very positive message, and it's true. I think all of us will agree. Life really is good. How about life having purpose? We heard about the purpose-driven life phenomenon some years ago, and people across this country and churches, small and large, took part in the purpose-driven life. They did the exercises, worked through the book each day, and then met in small groups. And it does send a very positive message. Yes, life does need a purpose, and life is good. But there's another way we need to consider. Life is difficult. Life has purpose. But how about life isn't fair? People have some knocks along the way, and lots of times they don't think they deserve them, but too bad, that's what happened. That's the way life unfolds. Everybody has to have ups and downs. But here in Philippians, we find the Apostle Paul. He doesn't stand back and say life isn't fair. No, here he is in prison. He has time on his hands. He remembers his good friends, and he misses them. Notice, though, that Paul in no way seems to feel sorry for himself. He isn't stoic, but he doesn't wallow in grief either. Even in the autumn of his life, even spending time in prison, Paul is determined to make the most of his situation. Of the three that I have mentioned, which one do you think describes Paul's response to his situation? I hear him affirming life is good. I hear him admitting life is difficult. But I never hear Paul saying life isn't fair. How about us? Whatever our age might be, how would we go about describing with just a few words what life means to us? Secondly, let's look at something else to consider about life. And I know these words I'm about to recite may sound like a cliche, but they don't have to be. Life is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift to God. Powerful words, words that are true. It's a matter of good stewardship, but it's also good theology. And stewardship is not just a matter of giving money to support the work of the church, as important as that might be. Christian stewardship is holistic. It's really a matter of how you use everything you have, your talents, your time, your relationships, everything, how you use what you have in service to God. We've all seen bad things happen to good people. We've all seen some good people go through some tough times. And that is where we find Paul today in this Philippian letter. Why was Paul in prison? Because he was a Christian. Why was Paul in prison? Because he kept talking about Jesus and the Romans wanted him to shut up. Why was he in prison? Because he was that tenacious and that stubborn. And he wasn't about to let anybody, including the Roman Empire, tell him to stop telling the Jesus story. And even while he was in prison, he continued to do what he could to serve his Lord. Tenacious, stubborn, strong-willed, three characteristics that might be negative for some folks, but not for Paul. All of that got him through it all. all of that became an ongoing expression of his faith. This is a lesson for all of us to consider, regardless of how old or young we might be. Dr. Albert Edwards was pastor of Raleigh's First Presbyterian Church for a long time. He was from Scotland, had that Scottish brogue. He just charmed everybody. He was on television every Sunday. David Haley does it at Hayes Barton now, but in those days it was Dr. Albert Edwards. And he became something like a local hero to so many people. And Dr. Edwards was a master storyteller. I remember one day he told a story about a remarkable lady who was a parishioner. She was full of energy and always ready to do and say whatever she could to help others. Unfortunately, one day she fell down and broke her leg and ended up in the hospital. He went over to see her the next day, and he said he would never forget the way this very lively little lady greeted him as he walked through the door. She said, "Dr. Edwards, I wonder what God needs for me to do here in Rex Hospital." Yes, bad things come to all of us, but it's not about what happens to us. It's how we handle what happens to us. When I look at Paul in prison, I see a man who knows how to do what he can to get through just about everything. As he writes in chapter 3, verse 4, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call in Christ Jesus." He wasn't going to let anything like getting older or being in prison stop him from being the person he was called to be. Yes, life is God's gift to us, but what we do with life is our gift to God. Third, let us remember Paul's attitude, and his attitude is one that is very, very positive. No matter his circumstances, he was not about to let his circumstances dictate his attitude. He remembers the blessings he still has. He has his life. He has his faith. He has his friends. His opening words in chapter 1 speak volumes about the way this man was able to navigate adversity. At the beginning of this letter, he seems to just jump in and celebrate life with his friends. Listen to what he says. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." What a touching way for a person to begin a letter. Every time he thinks of them, it's like he gets a lump in his throat and a smile on his face. They just cheered him up even while he was in prison. He celebrates how God is working through them as a congregation there in Philippi. Listen to the positive words he writes to these friends. In verse 6 he says, "I believe that God who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." And then verse 7 he gets personal again. He says, "I feel this way because you hold me in your heart and you share God's grace with me." He doesn't complain. He doesn't wallow in self-pity. He doesn't play "ain't it awful." No, he celebrates what they have shared and are sharing. Did you know that in this short book in the New Testament, Philippians, the word joy is used 16 times? Think about it. Paul was in prison, getting older, days were numbered, separated from the people he loved the most, yet he writes this letter, and over again, he speaks to these folks about joy. I heard a story some years ago about Mother Teresa. By this time, when this happened, she was already a senior citizen, well in her 80s. And she was talking to a group of people. Several of them, as they spoke, marveled at how she could accomplish so much with so little. how she continued to help so many people. Even though she was an older person, what she couldn't do, she recruited others to do. They wanted to hear a word from her, and she spoke some words to them that I will never, ever forget. She pointed upward, and she said, "I'm just a pencil in his hand." That's my challenge to you, regardless of your age, what you do, how you do it, how you serve. All of us can say, "I am just a pencil in his hand." Amen.
On the night Jesus was handed over to suffering and death, he gathered with his disciples, and after giving thanks, he took the bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do this in remembrance of me." the body of Christ, bread for the journey. We lift this cup to you, O Christ, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The cup of Christ, nourishment for the soul. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Will you please stand and share the peace of Christ with those around you?
We share together our commitments. Wherever He leads, I'll go.
Thank you.
Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. A special thank you to Dr. Thompson and his wife Carol for worshiping with us, and Dr. Thompson for your words inviting us to use the Apostle Paul's life as a lens for our own. Thank you very much. If you are joining us afterwards for the senior adult luncheon, if you've RSVP'd, that will be in Fellowship Hall. So we will see you there shortly. Two brief announcements. One, deacon nominations. Deacon nominations. We need some deacon nominations, right? We are just a few names short of the needed number. So we hope that if you have been waiting to turn in your nominations, that you will do so today or at the very early part of this week so that those can get to our deacon nominating team for them to continue in that process. So thank you for your prayerful discernment in that effort. And you notice the cradle cross up on our pulpit today, celebrating the birth of Lillian Bell Moody to the Moody family. So we are excited for Annie and Will and Sophie and all of the grandparents as their family is expanding. Well, thank you for worshiping with us. Let's close our service. Sons and daughters of the Creator, brothers and sisters of the Redeemer, and the power and peace and justice of the Sustainer is loose in the world through you. Amen.